If you haven't started watching the show, do
Don't.
it.
Or just like watch one episode and then realize that like nothing else is gonna happen for you in
It,
any of the other
you're
episodes.
not gonna miss anything by turning it off after that episode. I'm Paige. And
And I'm Megan.
this is Spooky Science Sisters. Hi, welcome to episode 4. I'm Paige.
And I'm Megan.
And this episode, we're gonna walk you through the history of Skinwalker Ranch. But before we talk about Skinwalker Ranch, Megan, do you have anything spooky that you want to talk about that happened last week?
Okay, so in the last 2 weeks, I didn't really have anything until like a couple, was that yesterday? A couple days ago? I don't know. It's not very exciting, but the only thing that was like remotely spooky that happened was my daughter Alice likes to wave at people and smile at people when they come in the door, walk by, or whatever. And I was feeding her dinner, and Stephen, her dad, was out for a walk, so he wasn't around, and he like wasn't back yet. And she started looking over towards the door and like smiling and waving at nothing. So it was like, mildly creepy because I was like, what are you looking at right now? I sort of think maybe we have like a big coat rack, and I sort of think maybe she thought the coat rack was a person like coming in the door or something. I don't know.
Or
But
maybe she's made her first imaginary friend.
I immediately thought of that when it happened, and I was like, please. Please tell me that this is not what's happening. Because, all right. So you already warned me, Paige, what we were going to talk about for your something spooky. But yeah. All right. What is your something spooky for this week, slash listeners? You're about to be appalled that I haven't just like gotten the fuck out of this family.
Well, so I do have something kind of spooky that happened this last week, but I will
Oh,
first
like that
talk.
actually happened this week?
Yeah, but first I will talk about the imaginary friend thing because it's relevant now. So growing up, my brother is 6 years older than me, and when he was really young, he had an imaginary friend, and I don't know, I guess they did like everything together. And my mom asked him one day what his imaginary friend's name was. And he told her that his name was New Me, which is such a bizarre name to choose. So I don't know like what child chooses the name New Me, but that was Steven's imaginary friend. So then fast forward, however many years later, and I start walking around talking to my imaginary friend. And I was still pretty young. As far as I know, Stephen didn't really know much about his imaginary friend. He didn't remember much about it. So it's not like they were telling me about this all the time. And then one day my mom asked me like who my imaginary friend was, and my imaginary friend's name was also New Me.
No.
So, yeah, I mean, we had moved houses by that point. So I guess, I don't know, New Me must have been following us, but I don't know what child thinks of the name New Me for a
Like
friend.
spell, yeah, like new me spelled like NEWME, like new me. Like it's 100% the demon that's been messing with you the past few weeks.
It's just following me.
Yeah, and if Alice ever tells me that she has an imaginary friend, no.
Yeah, if she tells you that she has an imaginary friend, New Me,
Yeah.
it's time. I don't even know what you do. You
Yeah. Though
just
I like,
leave.
I mean, yeah, I th thinking about it, it's like, I don't know, like maybe your brother said something about it at an age where you like retained it in some like subconscious part of your brain.
Yeah,
I don't
totally
know.
possible. Totally possible. But
Yeah, but you
yeah.
guys didn't discover this until you were like adults.
I don't remember any, like, I don't remember having an imaginary friend knew me, nor did I, you know, obviously I didn't remember my brother having one, but yeah, it was like, like late high school, maybe, when my mom told me about it the first time.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. 'Cause being 6 years older than you, like, that's old enough that, like, he's probably, I mean, I don't really know what age kids have or, you know, lose imaginary friends, but I think it's earlier than when they're like six. So, like, he's old enough that he wouldn't have had an imaginary friend by the time you were born. And right. Like, yeah. And then, like, it would have been, you know, at least a couple years after that before you're being friends with knew me.
I just looked it up, and apparently most kids start developing, like, the ability to imagine, or, like, the imagination around two or three. So that's usually okay. The age that they start bringing their imaginary friends around. So you got about a year before things get really scary.
Before I find out if Numi is, is attached to... attached right. to us. I don't think so, though. I think Numi is attached to you still right now.
Yeah, I mean, potentially it's living inside of this house with me.
Yeah, well, and if it's us, then, like, we're gonna fucking paranormal activity that shit and, like, send it over to you and hope that you don't freak out and come back and murder us. Spoiler alert. That's what we're gonna do. So
that was my, I guess, my childhood spooky story. But then my something spooky from, like, the last week, and it's not the spookiest thing that's happened to me in the last couple of weeks, I can say that, but I had gone outside.
It's like you always say that, by the way. You're like, this isn't the only spooky thing that's happened, but, like, it's apparently the most memorable.
Well, this isn't what? Like any yoga mat shit is what I'm trying to say. So I had gotten up, like, pretty early in the morning. I was the only one awake. And I went outside and, you know, sitting out enjoying the morning. And I had left the door cracked, like, ever so slightly. It's one of those sliding doors, which, just so you know, is, like, already kind of a pain in the ass to open and close. So I leave it a little bit cracked. And then I'm sitting there enjoying the morning, and I hear it kind of, like, shut the rest of the way. So I figured, you know, someone's awake. So I get up and, like, go to the bathroom and realize everybody is still asleep. Like, the pets are sleeping. Nobody is up and moving around. So then I go back out, and I don't know why I thought this was a good idea, but I left it, you know, ever so slightly cracked again. I was trying to be quiet and I'm sitting out reading a book, and it happens again. And so, everybody wakes up, comes outside, and I'm like, did anybody, like, come over here and close the door earlier? Like, did you wake up and, like, hear something? And they're like, no. I'm like, okay, well, the door definitely slammed shut twice. And I thought that maybe you were just mad that I left the door open, but it just shut on its own. And, like, probably, you know, there's a perfectly good explanation for this one. But
this is a sliding door that shut while you were outside.
While I was outside. Right, yeah. And it just, like, I don't know, like I said, it was just barely open. So it just kind of, like, shut itself, I guess. I don't know. I don't know if it's really that creepy. Like I said, this may happen to people all the time. But
I don't know.
it didn't feel quite right. So that was my something spooky.
Terrible. For last week.
It's something new every week. So, I mean, that's.
Yeah. That's yeah. But here's, like, what you're really going to find out, though, is that it's, like, one of those stories where some homeless dude is living in the crawl space or the attic or something.
I'm pretty certain that I've talked to you before about how I thought somebody was living in the attic before, because I absolutely did. I had listened to a podcast talking about somebody who had like found out that somebody was living in their attic for a while, and it like totally fucked me up. And then every time like something would be sitting somewhere that I didn't remember putting it, I would be like, oh god, someone. I made Elliot climb up like and check the attic.
All right, so now we can talk about our topic for this week, which you already said was Skinwalker Ranch, which was Elliot's idea, which I can't really decide like if I'm mad at him about it or not. but I'll preface this with, before we get started, or while we're getting started, that we're going to split this into two episodes, because it is impossible to cover in a single episode just like the sheer amount of insanity that surrounds that ranch. Like, it's been referred to as the paranormal Disneyland, and there's like over 200 years supposedly of history of paranormal phenomena. So yeah, so for this,
there's a lot here.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack here. So for the first episode, we're gonna kind of focus on, not kind of, we are gonna focus on history of the ranch, discussing the phenomena that have happened there, discussing the change-ups that have happened in ownership over the years. And then in 2 weeks for our next episode, that's when we'll really dive into like the nitty-gritty of debunking. Although like there's no fucking way that I'm going to be able to keep my mouth shut about some of the ideas that I have about things that people have reported. But the nitty-gritty debunking stuff will come in 2 weeks. And we're also gonna chit chat this week because we both watched, well, false, you watched all of the available episodes. I fucking gave up because I could not do it. Like,
I promise you, you missed nothing.
Great. Well, yeah, you just catch me up when we get there. But yeah, I've watched all but one of the episodes of the History Channel show, which I think is just started this spring, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Called, what is it called?
The Secrets of Skinwalker Ranch.
Secrets of Skinwalker Ranch. Yeah. And I, even as someone who's watched a lot of ridiculous and terrible ghost shows, like, I couldn't do it. I couldn't get all the way through.
I'm finishing it, damn it. The last episode is released, what, next week?
Yes. Yeah. It's I think Tuesday or Wednesday is the like season finale. Yeah. So I mean, I'm gonna get through it, but I just couldn't do any more this week. Okay, so I don't know, it's insane. It's like I said, paranormal Disneyland. All right, so we'll lay out like a little bit of the history, and Paige, you just jump in like as you have thoughts about various things with this.
Sounds great. I've got thoughts.
Good. And per usual, so many thoughts. Okay. So this ranch is located in the Uinta Basin, which is in Utah, and is surrounded by tribal land that belongs to the Ute tribe. And yeah, I mean, I, you know, we'll get to it. But like, I also have some thoughts about the fact that this is like stolen Native American land. But anyway, but like, so the ranch itself is this paranormal hotspot. And I had read and heard, like, the various things that I read and listened to, quotes of up to 50% of the people living in the Uinta Basin, so near the ranch and in the cities around it, report having seen UFOs. So, like, it's, like, remarkably common that people think that they've seen something. And this has been going on since, like, there are documented reports since early European explorers moved into the area. So this Franciscan missionary reported strange fireballs over his campfire. So, and like, there's supposedly like tribal lore surrounding the region that dates back to much further back than that.
I also read that there's apparently been like a significant amount of people who believe they've been abducted by aliens in that area. In fact, so I found this article, well, I guess it's like a news article, the Deseret News, which I guess is just like, it's like one of the oldest like news outlets in Utah or in like the Salt Lake City area. But they have here quoted, "You can't throw a rock in southern Utah without hitting somebody who's been abducted."
So, I think I heard that same quote read back on one of the podcast episodes I listened to while I was researching.
So yeah, on top of the fact that like there have been a lot of UFO sightings, there's also been apparently a lot of alien abductions.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I had heard the same thing. And that same quote. Yeah. It's insane. So there's also this book that gets written in the 1960s by a biologist named Frank Salisbury, called the Utah UFO Display. So he goes through like hundreds of reports to like filter out false identifications, and writes this book about UFO sightings in the area and like what they might mean. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of complicated stuff here, because there's things that like lend all of these stories legitimacy. And then there's things like the fact that, you know, well, the History Channel show will like claim that they have physical evidence, but like up until then, there's basically like zero physical evidence to support any of this. It's all just like stories. There's like, I don't know. I got the vibe from like this Frank Salisbury was like Mormon and like was a creationist, and the person who owns it now is Mormon. So like, I think there's some weird religious stuff at play here. Like, it's very complicated. So that's, you know, that's the history of the area. So like, it's not just Skinwalker Ranch, it's like the Uinta Basin as a whole. So we can talk more specifically about the ranch. So it's currently divided into three homesteads. And then there's like this big sandstone ridge on part of it. There's a river. It's a 512-acre piece of land. So it's a pretty substantial piece of land. The Skinwalker Ranch name was like, well, so supposedly I think it's the Ute people, so the Native American people say that it's like, it's in the path of the Skinwalker, whatever. Mm-hmm. But that like this name and like it's like it's given to it by white people. Like I listened to a thing that said that, like, from, you know, from an archaeologist who said that, like, this, like, it's they're associating it with, like, this popular concept of skinwalkers, which is, like, very much a misunderstanding of Navajo culture. And yeah, so what are skinwalkers? So
I mean, I know, like, what they are, like, claimed to be.
Yes. So skinwalkers are supposedly, I think, in the best description that I could get of, like, how the Navajo people see these. And the reason that we bring up the Navajo, whereas, like, it's the Ute people in the kind of in the area, I guess, are more prevalent. Like, there's people talk about there was, like, some sort of beef between them, and there's, like, all this mythology or whatever, true or not, that, like, the Navajo people,
like, cursed the land.
Yeah, right? Like, cursed the land. But also that it was the Navajo people who were being shitty to the Ute people. So, like, why would they curse the land? And yeah, and, like, so skinwalkers are supposedly Navajo witches, and, like, are, I think, evil or seen negatively, but, like, are very much part of their, like, their current, you know, belief system and, like, religious system right now. And they're not, you know, the way that they're represented is, like, that they're, like, oh, these are Native American werewolves. And it's, like, that's not what they're supposed to be. Like, it's a different thing. And they don't even talk about it with outsiders because they're, like, very superstitious about it. And yeah. So I mean, I'm trying to be careful because, like, I'm not an archaeologist. Right. And I also, like, I was so frustrated listening to so much of this stuff and, like, especially watching that damn show where I was like, God damn, like, this is just, like, a bunch of white people, like, interpreting, like, all this Native cultural stuff on, like, land that they stole. And I don't know, I was feeling very annoyed. So yeah, so they're shapeshifters, and I'd written down that these kind of, like, shapeshifters or, like, half animal beings are pretty common, I guess, in, like, archaeological discoveries or from an archaeological standpoint. Mm-hmm. So they've discovered, like, evidence of, well, I don't want to say evidence of them existing, but, like, evidence of, like, people, I supposedly, it's probably, like, cave drawings and stuff of, like,
people shapeshifters,
like, half animal. Yeah. That, like, date back in modern day Germany to between, like, 35,000 to 40,000 years ago. And there's, like, also similar creatures or beings that are potentially found, like, evidence of in cultures even earlier in Indonesia. So, like, that's a pretty common feature in, like, religion and myth in a lot of cultures, and, like, continues to be in the Navajo culture. So yeah, so it's complicated because I had a hard time with, like, so many places and so many people saying, like, oh, you know, it's in the path of the skinwalker and the Navajo cursed the land, and, like,
right.
And it's like, well, yeah, from what I understand, it's like they wouldn't purposefully bring out the skinwalker. Like, they want to discourage that. It's, like, something that they fear or that they want to distance themselves from. So I don't know, Paige.
I know, I'm, like, hesitant to, like, even read the definition I have of skinwalker, because I'm, like,
no, you should just read it.
Well, but it, like, it reads as, like, a harmful witch who's like a monster. You know what I mean? It's like harmful witch who does, which I think is.
I don't think that's wrong. It's just like, yeah, but people's like, I think the difference is like people say like, oh, it's like a Native American werewolf. And like, once they become the skinwalker, they're like out of control and they're like a beast. And it's like, from what, and that's not really what it is. It's like the skinwalkers like are intelligent or whatever. So anyway, that's the origin of the name.
But it doesn't actually get its name until what, like the late, like recently, really.
Yeah, well, exactly. So like, I think that's probably, yeah.
Is it Robert Bigelow who gives it the name?
I don't know if he gives it to it, but yeah, but it I saw a few times where it was like Native people, you know, said it was in the path of the skinwalker or whatever, but like whether or not that's true, like they weren't calling it Skinwalker Ranch, like right. White people gave it that name. So like it gets this Skinwalker Ranch name because supposedly, you know, they're seen skinwalkers on the land, or there's stories of them on the land, but there's like predator type creatures like from the movie The Predator that have been seen, stories of like portals or wormholes with like dark humanoid shadow figures walking out of them.
That one gets me.
Yeah, like undead slash spectral skinwalkers slash giant wolves or dire wolves that, you know, people pet and then they like try to steal one of their calves, so they shoot them a bunch of times and they don't die. There's flying saucers, there's black triangles, there's
Bigfoot was there.
Yes, like supposedly Bigfoot. I like heard a few things of like these things that in Brazilian culture are called chupas, which are like metal extraterrestrial boxes that fly around and like apparently melt your dogs. Yeah. Poltergeist activity, like beams of light from the sky or the ground, shaking ground, metallic or like metal on metal sounds happening from like within the earth beneath the ranch.
You name it, it's happened here.
Yeah, like paranormal Disneyland, literally everything happens here, supposedly. So that brings us to ownership. And the ranch kind of gets famous with this family that buys it in
the 90s. I think it was like 94. Five.
Yeah, I'm looking. 94.
Oh, I was so close.
94. So I should mention that this is a ranch that they're using for cattle ranching. So they're raising cows for slaughter. So that's the other thing that's happening here is cattle mutilations.
Yeah. So,
it's a fucking mess. Like, that's why we're a little bit all over the place trying to talk about, like, what has happened here, because there's just no organized way to do it. Like, it's just, it's insane. It's, I, like, was listening to stuff and reading stuff and just thinking, what is happening here? But the first settlers supposedly... this timeline that I'm looking at from skinwalkerranch.org says that the first homestead in the property is built in 1905. Supposedly first cattle mutilation is in 1930.
Do they have any stories? So I didn't go back quite that far. Do they have, or I guess like I didn't focus on this ownership, but did they talk about like what those cattle mutilations like looked like, or did it just state that it was the first mutilation?
This timeline, like I didn't look that far back in detail either, just okay, because, yeah, this timeline just says first cattle mutilation occurred on the ranch, 1930. Throughout this time and before this first family moves and sets up their homestead on the ranch, like there's like waves of UFO sightings and all sorts of weird shit supposedly happening. Yeah, like 1950s and 60s, there's a surge of UFO sightings, which is what inspires Frank Salisbury, the biologist, to write the Utah UFO display book.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, so that's like in the 1960s. And then getting closer to today, kind of like the current, well, the point being that like there's supposedly still a ton of paranormal stuff happening on the ranch. And kind of the modern iteration of that starts when the Myers family, so it's still the it's this original family that settled there, and it must just be like, you know, their descendants or whatever. They sell the property to the Sherman family. And you'll sometimes see the Sherman family referred to as the Gorman family, because in this book that was written called Hunt for the Skinwalker, they used a pseudonym, the Gormans, gotcha, for that. So that's why you'll see that sometimes. But
they see all kinds of crazy shit.
Yes. And like, and the funny thing is that like the Myers family who sold it to them, I think I had read that like they didn't really experience anything. Maybe they did early on, but like the people who lived there before them, I thought I had read like didn't actually experience anything. But they did have this like clause where they supposedly told the Shermans that they wanted to be notified if they ever did any digging on the property.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. So people are really crazy about digging on this property. And so here's the thing about all of these stories, the UFOs, the skinwalkers, the like predator sightings, the damn portals, the cattle mutilations, like supposedly like new people showing up on the ranch, or them like digging somewhere on the ranch, or, you know, activity happening on the ranch, like somehow spurs paranormal things to happen, or at least that's what the claims are. So yeah, so the Shermans move in, and
like the very first night they have issues. Like,
yeah,
the very first night they say that like this giant wolf,
yeah,
the size of a horse, attacks one of their calves, and like Terry, yeah, Sherman basically says he comes out and shoots the wolf several times with several different guns.
Yeah, but this is like after they, like, it was supposedly tame and they like spent some time like petting it.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, they were, yeah, friends first.
And then it like turns to, you know, this pen where they had these calves and is like, all right, well, I'm getting a snack.
He was hungry.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's like, it's this wolf is attacking their calf and he shoots it several times, and like the wolf's just like, fuck you, man, that hurt, and leaves. Like, doesn't die, and yeah, just leaves. That's like,
yeah, and they like follow it. It's like him and his son follow it and like find some like chunk of flesh from it or something that seems like it's already rotting. So it's like I said, it's like an undead dire wolf or something like that. But like, yeah, like they say, like it's a skinwalker, right? Like, so it's so crazy. It's so crazy. So that, yeah, so they have these experiences right away. There's this digging clause, which I wanted to mention that is, so I know we're not supposed to be doing a ton of debunking stuff this episode, but the digging stuff drove me crazy, because they're so nuts about it in the damn History Channel show.
Dragon gets pissed.
God, yeah, we're gonna get to the show. There are some characters. But from what, so this is an area where there's like a lot of there's a lot of oil reserves. So they're like near the ranch right now, there are oil wells where they're drilling or pulling up from a reserve. And they might be pulling up natural gas as well. But either way, like it's pretty common, I guess, in areas like that to, if you sell a piece of property, to put in some sort of clause about like digging on the land, mm-hmm. because if somebody were to find a huge reserve of oil and make a ton of money from it, like you want to get some of that even though you sold the land. So like it's a protection against like you missing out on this very valuable part of the property. So my thoughts are, because people have gotten really crazy about it and like they're like, you can't dig on the ranch, like it's very dangerous, you're gonna like awaken stuff or crazy stuff's gonna happen. My thoughts are like, it's like been a game of telephone. Like it started as this like innocuous, you know, like we just want to know if you're going right. to do any major digging, because like we want to make sure we get some of the money if you find something valuable. And now it's like turned into like,
don't dig, know, or we're all going to die.
Yeah. Like it's dangerous to dig. And like, this is what is going to, you know, crazy things are going to happen. So that is my, that's my theory about it, is like it's just a misinterpretation or it's gotten exaggerated over the years. Yeah. And yeah, so they, the Shermans though, don't last super long.
Yeah, it's like 2 years.
Yeah.
So I would like to say, first of all, so I know you already talked about a lot of the stuff that's happened on the ranch, but I kind of broke it down into like each family. And there are like several things that, you know, they have the same UFO sightings. There's one time where Terry says he walks outside and hears voices in an unfamiliar language and claims that they're about 25 feet above his head. And the dogs apparently like go nuts because they also hear the voices. So that's kind of weird. But then the cattle mutilations, I mean, at this point, like, I'm sorry, I'm out. Like, if these are things I'm seeing, you know, they own this property for 2 years. So if in 2 years I see a freaking wolf that I can't kill, and
yeah,
if I see all this stuff, like I'm out. But the cattle mutilations, they said that there were like initially three dead cows. The first they found with a hole near the left eyeball. Otherwise, completely, they say it was looked like it was completely untouched. There was no trace of blood. The second cow had a similar hole near its eyeball. And it's going to get a little graphic here.
Yeah. Content warning if you're sensitive about animal injuries. Right. Just like skip a little bit.
And a 6-inch hole carved out of the rectum. And
yep,
then
I heard this one.
Yeah, both cows apparently had like an odd chemical odor. And then the third cow, who had been seen like alive and walking around apparently only 5 minutes prior to being found dead, had a lot of these like same holes. Same thing where there was like no blood on the cow or in the snow anywhere. And that same chemical odor was apparent. But there was also apparently a circle of twigs around the fallen cow, and the tops of the trees appeared severed. So that's pretty spooky. Like I'm out at this point. Yeah. But then like they said that they lost 20% of their herd in the 2 years that they lived there because they had the mutilations, but then there were also cattle that just like started disappearing.
So. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not just like cattle mutilation. It's like cattle teleportation.
Right. Well, yeah, there's like no tracks. They're just gone.
yeah. So.
I'm so sorry. One more thing.
No, you're fine.
This is very important. Apparently, dogs, but like, you know, like our pet dogs were seen walking upright around the ranch.
Oh, yes. And like in the area, so like going with this whole skinwalker thing, people reporting like seeing like men with the heads of dogs like standing around smoking cigarettes.
That's kind of, never mind. That could just be like a really fucked up thing to say to someone.
Oh.
Today I saw a man with a dog.
I saw a dog face man. He's a real dog. I love it. Yeah. So, okay. So the ranch kind of gets, like, I think, famous from these people, from the experiences that they have. And there's kind of like this discussion of there being like kind of waves of things happening, especially with respect to the UFO sightings that happen in the area and on the ranch. But this triggers a man named Robert Bigelow to want to purchase the ranch. And so Robert Bigelow he's a real estate, a hotel, an aerospace, I don't know, magnet or whatever. But he's a billionaire who purchases the ranch. And he's like, he's already very interested in the paranormal, especially UFOs, but like, but other forms of the paranormal as well. And he sets up this National Institute for Discovery Sciences called NIDS, and basically wants to use the ranch as like a living laboratory, and brings in like scientists and a bunch of other people to try to figure out what's going on.
Also, I made note that he bought the ranch for $200,000, which it's what, 500 some acres?
Yeah, I saw some people say 480 acres, some people say 512, but yeah, I'm like around 500 acres of land. So it's
$200,000. Yeah. Like, these people clearly just wanted to get the fuck out.
yeah, I guess I did not see how much the, if anyone talked about how much the Shermans had purchased it for, like, did they lose money or did they just, did they just want to get out? Yeah. And if I'm like a billionaire interested in buying my land, like, I better get paid. What we didn't realize when we picked this as our topic for this week, because we picked it without knowing this, but Robert Bigelow has his hand in like a ton of different current UFO things. Like, he forms NIDS, he studies the ranch, but like the Pentagon and their like that advanced aviation threat identification program that was associated with the Navy videos that we talked about last week, like that all connects. Like, Robert Bigelow has his hands in that. He goes on to form kind of abandoned Skinwalker as like this, you know, study site in the early 2000s, like gets this Pentagon contract, forms Bigelow Aerospace. Like, he's built like and is testing or was testing like an expandable like habitat for the International Space Station. So like, he's legit in like the aerospace deal. World. Yeah. And that's like, so without getting too much in the debunking world, because we're going to talk about this more in 2 weeks, but you know, that's what a lot of people lean on is like, if he's, you know, if he's such this big figure in like the aerospace, in space travel, he's involved with the Pentagon, like people say like this legitimizes what's going on the ranch. Like, it makes it seem more credible. So, okay. He sets up NIDS for a little while. They study it. Out of this, these two guys associated with NIDS, Colm Kelleher, who's a biochemist, PhD, and George Knapp, who's like an investigative journalist, write this book called Hunt for the Skinwalker, which I was gonna listen to the audiobook for it for this episode and for the next episode, but like found out that it's a little bit problematic in itself. Like, it's all secondhand interviews that were collected by NIDS. So it's like all this secondhand information. And from what I understand, like the Shermans, who they call the Gormans in the book, like didn't even necessarily realize that like Bigelow was essentially selling their information, like in order to be included in this book. And supposedly Terry Sherman. He said that like, even though things were embellished in the book, like nothing was false. Like they didn't make stuff up. So, I mean, there is that, but.
Do they talk about their time on the ranch at all? Or they just talk about everybody else's time on the ranch?
Yes, they do talk about their time. Okay. But again, it's like this idea that, you know, you've got scientists on the ranch. You've got this guy who like goes on to be involved with this Department of Defense program and this like very official whatever institute that they formed to look for UFOs. He's doing this study. He's got PhDs, physicists and biochemists and, you know, people who used to work for the FBI on the ranch. And like, they don't really collect any like genuine physical evidence while they're there. Like they talk about some story where like cameras get destroyed, you know, when they're trying to record stuff. There's like the story about, you know, some humanoid Bigfoot, whatever creature crawling out of a portal. But like nothing concrete. So yeah. So they kind of, I mean, I think eventually he just sort of abandons.
Yeah. He's basically like, we're not getting anything here. Let's move on.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they don't find anything. So like he decides to sell it. Yeah. And it's funny, the connection to last week or last episode as well. He has, I don't know if he like has some sort of beef with MUFON or like he's somehow connected to MUFON. There was like something with that. There's also, he's involved, Robert Bigelow is involved in the formation of the To the Stars.
I knew that's what you were going to say.
Academy. So
him and Tom DeLonge.
Yeah. So, and like, I've read additional things since our episode 2 weeks ago because there's been like, here's what I'm going to tell you. I followed like a bunch of with the spooky SciPod Twitter account. I followed a bunch of UFO accounts like while we were doing the research for the last episode and then kind of continuing into this one. And it's like, they're very dramatic. They get very worked up. So yeah, I think they kind of, there's some bad blood with the To the Stars Academy. And I think there's some bad blood between them and MUFON because like MUFON is nonprofit and like, you know, I think is a little bit more, what was that?
Something fell off my desk, but I don't know what it was.
Oh God. The demon.
It's kind of
so there's, I'm leaving that in, by the way. Yeah, so there's like maybe some sort of beef between them, but then the To the Stars Academy is like a for-profit thing, and I was like, that, I mean, that alone sort of like delegitimizes it,
right?
Like any credibility that they did have, it's like, oh, it's well, now. Okay. Yeah. And then I don't know, other stuff about Robert Bigelow, like he, I don't know, there's rumors, but it's unclear if it's true that he was like, his whole thing is he wants to like harness alien technology. Like he wants to find or like make contact with the UFOs and like make money off of the whatever technology that they're using, but it's unclear that that's like that that's a legitimate thing. Okay. So that brings us to
the show.
Today's owner. So then in 2016,
Brandon Fugel.
Fugel? Is it F-O? I had it written as Fogel. It's Fugel though, isn't it?
It's F-U.
Oh, it is F-U. Okay. Yeah. F-U, Brandon.
F-U.
Okay. So Brandon Fugel buys it from Bigelow. And he's like, I don't know, some other like real estate magnet. I don't know. So he buys it and he's like, he comes on like one of his interviews or whatever in the first episode of Secrets of Skinwalker Ranch, which is this History Channel show where they're like supposedly trying to find evidence on the ranch. And it's like, okay, well, the guy who hired like all of these PhD and FBI agents and whoever like didn't find anything, like,
but you're gonna find it, Brandon.
Yes. And he's just like, I don't know, he's a weird dude. He kind of like, he talks about in like sort of a roundabout way about how he's religious and like I sound way too snarky, I'm sorry religious people, it's fine, just like, we all know that you're Mormon, man. Like, we all know it. So
there's like, no hiding it.
Yeah. So he like says that, and like that part of his motivation is like, you know, that he wants to know, like, is there something other than us, right? Yeah. And I'm giving him such a hard time because, you know, he's got some sort of like fancy real estate, you know, he sells like high, I don't know, either luxury real estate or like large amounts of real estate. But, you know, early on they show him like driving this new scientist they're adding to the ranch, like in this, like some ridiculous luxury sports car. And like they go to his like private airplane / helicopter hangar. And it's like they come out to meet these guys with like armed guards, and it's like, god damn, what kind of like El Chapo bullshit is this? Like, it's just ridiculous. I just like, that was like the first 5 minutes of the show, and I was like, I think that was about the point where I started texting you, like,
and then it only gets better.
Does it though?
And like the first gets better.
The first minute of the show, they like show a clip from later, which I keep thinking they'll come back to, and I'm not clear that they have, but they show a clip of them like finding a dead cow.
They have not.
They have not come back to that yet, right?
No. I suspect, and that's all they're going to talk about in the final episode, though.
You are probably correct. But yeah, like in the first minute of this show, okay, we got to back up. Brandon Fugel buys it. He seems like sort of, I don't know, he's a character. He wants to like, I don't know more about what else is out there. He wants to like be Robert Bigelow. Like, he wants to continue this research. And I think like his thoughts are like everything that Robert Bigelow did, I don't know, was maybe like locked down or something like that. So yeah. So he wants to like release it to the world or whatever. So I don't know. Okay. So in like the opener to the show, they show them like finding a dead cow, and they're like, oh, don't touch it. Like, we need to check if it's radioactive. And one of the people's just like, oh, too late. Really? I was just like, oh my God, what is happening? yeah. And so the main guy, or the new guy that they bring in,
Travis,
you idiot. I'm sorry, I can't with these people.
When he first introduced himself, I thought he was lying about his degrees, so I had to go find them.
Oh, God.
Yeah, because he's like,
Are they legit?
yeah, they are. Because he introduces himself and he's like, I'm Travis Taylor and I'm an astrophysicist and I have a degree in electrical engineering, aerospace, astronomy, physics, and optical science. And I'm like, fuck, bullshit. No, you don't. But he does. He has a bachelor's in electrical engineering, master's in physics and mechanical aerospace engineering and astronomy, and he has a PhD in optical science and aerospace systems engineering.
Okay, and is it like legit that he worked for NASA?
It seems so. I mean, I'm looking at Wikipedia here, but yeah, it says that he subcontracted, oh my gosh,
Subcontracted.
subcontracted for NASA in the 60s,
In the
where,
60s? He's not that old.
wait, no, he's super not that old. Hold on, let me reread this.
His 40s.
Oh, I super lied to you. His father subcontracted for NASA in the 60s. I don't
Okay.
see where it says that he did, though. My apologies.
Oh.
NASA. Taylor has worked on various programs for the United States Department of Defense and NASA for over 16 years.
Okay.
So, yes.
Okay.
Sorry, it took some digging, but we got there.
We got there. Yeah, so this guy's name's Travis Taylor. He's got a PhD. So it's like, I mean, they're bringing in, that's the frustrating part. It's like they're bringing in people that have PhDs that from different backgrounds, like physicists, and he's like a astronomy guy, aerospace guy, whatever.
All of those things.
Yeah. But like, I mean, here's the thing. I think I just Googled him briefly, and it's like one of the first things that it says about him is like in the summary that like like Google just brings up the like summary of the person, it says like science fiction author, and it's like, well,
That's all I need to know.
that tells me everything I need to know about this dude.
Well, yeah, it's like they bring somebody in with a PhD so that way they can say they have a PhD on the team. But like they absolutely found the guy that they knew would
Would
like
support what
would
they're
support
doing.
what they're saying. Yeah, so that way it looked like somebody who is like using proper scientific techniques is like
But
legitimizing their
it's
claim.
all so frustrating though, because it's like in the case of Bigelow and in the case of this Fugle guy, like there's so much stuff that they do and that they talk about where it's like, you're bringing in people with like physics and like aerospace or whatever degrees, like they're gonna have a bias. Like they're gonna see that type of explanation for the things that you're observing. And yeah, like there were several times where I was like, get a fucking geologist, like get a biologist, like get other people whose expertise is like more in what you're looking at.
Looking
Like
at.
just yeah, like it's like this thing where it's like, and speaking as somebody who has a PhD, it's like I know a lot. Like I'm an expert on a very, very, very narrow range of science. Like
Well, if
I've
you're a
definitely
scientist, you know all things about all science. That's how it works.
Yes. Yeah, like that's what I hate about like these types of things. And like it's like I know a ton about a very small part, a small sliver of science. And like, yes, getting a PhD, I think like does give you the tools to know how to research things, know how to think critically about things, but it doesn't like all of a sudden make you able to like solve every scientific mystery in like every field or whatever. So, yeah. So that's just the thing that drives me crazy. Because, yeah, that it's like the further you get in your education, like you think, oh, like when you graduate undergrad, you think you're going to go to grad school and it's like, oh, you're going to be just an expert and you're going to be so smart. And then it's like you get to grad school and you get done with your PhD and you're like, I don't know fucking anything. So you just learn about all the things that you don't know. Okay. So Yeah. So that, I mean, that's kind of like, that's it, right? Like, I don't know. I don't know how much we want to talk about the, or what else we want to say about the show, but there's just a ton of that won't cause me to slip into like debunking.
Right. Land. Yeah. I mean, basically, what did I say to you the other day? In this show, they do a lot of things, but they don't teach you anything. Like,
exactly.
There's a lot of, they do a whole lot of stuff, but nothing actually, like, there's no evidence that any of this stuff is, any of the stuff they think is happening is happening.
No.
They're just like, oh, well, that didn't work. Let's move on to the next thing.
Yeah. Well, and they're, yeah, like, I should say they, I don't know, they've got this insane, like, war room set up, like, monitoring everything on the ranch and all of this different equipment. Although when they get to the part where they're doing, like, the ground-penetrating radar scans or the GPR scans, they're just, like, dragging the shit behind an ATV. Fuck. Like, what's happening here? But, yeah, so they, like, you know, they've got these – it goes back to, like, a month ago when we talked about all this, but they've got, like – things where they're measuring electromagnetic fields, and they like claim that there's like significantly higher than background levels of like microwave radiation and other non-ionizing radiation. But then they like start talking about ionizing radiation. I don't know. Non-ionizing, well, which is like, it's a whole other thing, right? Because it's people who don't understand, like, your cell phone is not going to give you brain cancer. Like, the type of radiation that it's emitting or receiving is non-ionizing. So it's like, it's not going to do anything to your cells. and it's different than ionizing radiation, which is like, you know, the stuff that is associated with like a nuclear blast.
Right.
And that's the stuff that's going to, you know, melt your skin off if you watched Chernobyl. But they, yeah, like they're saying that they're measuring both of those types of radiation. You know, the day that they get there, like people are, I don't know, they're digging holes and like the one guy's head is like swelling up in a weird way. Like they're freaking out about digging. Like
the one guy gets like radiation burns.
Yes. It's like you got like a bug bite or something.
Right.
Yeah, and like they talk about like electrical phenomena, like shadow figures, hearing voices, this like the ridge, like the sandstone ridge that's on the property glowing at night. And they do show like footage of it. I think it's like infrared footage.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, yeah, like it looks like it's glowing. And I mean, I don't know, over the course of the show they like capture, I don't know, they make measurements of radiation, they make measurements of, they supposedly capture video of like some UFO. Yeah, they, which they call UFOs, which is like infuriating the
every time I hear it. Who the hell says UFO?
I don't know.
It is an acronym. It is not.
I don't know.
A word.
Yeah, and I'm like watching this, and it shows like the dates sometimes, and it's like, I think it's from like last summer. Like one of the dates that they show is like May 2019, and I was like, oh, May 2019. Like what a simpler time. yeah, but there, it's just, it's infuriating. And it's like impossible for us to talk about everything because like we could do just a show on this show, because it's like everything that they're doing, like they claim that they're doing these quote unquote experiments, but it's like none of it is scientific at all. Like none of it is set up in a way that like is going to give you actual data. And it's like the same thing that people have said, like when we talked about demons and when we talked about ghosts and when we talked about even UFOs, and like it's been said about the ranch in the past with the stuff that Bigelow was doing, that it's like, well, you know, this just, it just, you can't use science, you know, to study this. It's just, it's outside of science. And it's like, that's fucking bullshit. That just means it's bullshit.
Right. Anyway. That's just your excuse because you can't prove that this stuff is real.
Right. Yeah. And like, I also wanted to definitely mention that like this show is like done by the same people who do the like Oak Island show also on the History Channel, which I don't know a ton about, but I've seen ads for because I've been watching this other show. They're like looking for some sort of buried treasure on some island that like there's some legend about, but it's like they've been looking for that shit for like years now. Like they are several seasons in, and it's like, for me, it like looks like they find like a little piece of metal sometimes in the dirt, but like they've not actually found anything. So it's like what you said, they show you a lot of stuff and like a lot of supposed evidence, but it's no better than like ghost hunting. Like they're not, there's no background levels being taken here. There's no like double blind studies. There's no, there's nothing that could like, that you couldn't, yeah, just debunk. So it's very frustrating to watch. And like, I think the people who created this show are also associated with the Ancient Aliens show. And yeah, I mean, that's like just become the butt of a lot of jokes.
I'm going to have to watch the Oak Island show now.
No, I thought I wanted to watch it. And like now that I've watched this, absolutely not. Like I've heard that this is better than Oak Island.
Oof.
So that tells you something about Oak Island. And Steven and I did watch, we watched like a whole season of Ancient Aliens, and we were like, all in when we watched it. This was like years and years ago now. And then we found out that it was just like, these people are total crackpots. And we were really bummed out. Bummed out because like this is frustrating. Like it's frustrating with ghost stuff too. Like, and it's frustrating with the UFO stuff that we talked about last week. Like there could be real stuff happening here, but there's just so much craziness around it. Like I would rather watch a show where they like do like a Mythbusters style show. Like they are actually scientific about it. And like, even if that meant that they found nothing, like at least I would know that like it was under controlled conditions.
Right.
Know?
Right. Cause now it's like, I don't believe any of this shit because.
Because it seems like you guys have no idea what you're doing.
Right. I don't trust the people doing the work.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know. It's and there's, I have a lot of specific notes about things to talk about when we cover debunking
this
week.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I think the only other thing I want to say is that they've had these cow mutilations, and like I just have to put this out here because I'm so frustrated by it. they, you know what I'm gonna say. They bring cows onto the farm onto the ranch so that way they can, I don't know.
Oh, there are already cows on the ranch.
They bring in more, don't they? I swear that happened. Maybe it didn't.
No, there are already cows.
I could be lying about that, but there are cows. And then they bring in alpacas because they want to, I don't know, I guess see if they like react to something. They videotape them and see like, oh, is there anything that they get worked up about? Do they start acting funny at certain times? Whatever.
Yeah.
And they do this.
Well, this is like what I was saying was that they, you know, they claim that new things on the ranch will sometimes like stimulate the ranch to essentially react. That it's like this like intelligent whatever that's reacting and interacting with the people there. So they want to bring on these alpacas to like try to trigger something, but also to see how they react because alpacas are like apparently not as stupid as cows.
But it's like so fucked up. And then they like right after they bring the alpacas, they start digging, which is like, you know,
Apparently a
a
no-no. Oh,
no-no.
that is the other thing we forgot to mention. Well, we did mention him before, but like Robert Bigelow is this like eccentric kind of billionaire figure. And it's like, well, I guess all billionaires are eccentric to some extent. But he like was known for going around with like armed guards. And this Brandon Fugel guy like does the same thing, right? He's got like armed guards in his airplane hangar. And then on the ranch, there's like armed guards. But one of them is named,
I don't
what
know
is his
his.
actual
I
name?
just know him as Dragon. Hold on, I might have
He goes
it.
by Dragon, but I definitely wrote down his real name. Oh, Bryant. Yeah, so his name is Bryant, and he's like is and one of or the head like armed security guard, and they're carrying around these like huge rifles, but he goes by Dragon, and it is just like, dude, like he, and the funny thing is like he's just like the worst, like toxic male attitude. Like, and then they all are like, and he gets so pissy about like them wanting to dig on the ranch, and like he's like, oh, I don't have a PhD, but like, so like apparently I don't get an opinion or whatever.
He gets very frustrated. One of my other favorite Dragon scenes is when they had that like potential UFO sighting, and then like right after Dragon claims he's like dizzy and queasy, and I guess like his heart rate goes up a little bit, and they're like, oh God, this must mean something. It's like, this motherfucker just thought he saw a UFO. Of course
Yeah,
his
like of
blood
course he's
pressure
a
is gonna
little bit worked up.
right.
I know. And then like poor Precious Thomas,
Oh,
like
yeah.
sort of just seems like he is like in over his head. So Thomas is one of the other people who I think is maybe like a caretaker or something. I don't know what his deal
Don't
is,
really
but
know why he's there.
yeah, it's unclear. But he like apparently had some sort of like instantaneous like brain swelling slash fluid buildup like on the back of his skull that sent him to the hospital at one point, and that gets like reactivated when they start digging around for stuff, and it's like,
And the poor guy, like he gets back from the emergency room and they're like, oh, you're all right? Cool, get back to work.
I don't know. It's just insane. And like it's just crazy. But they like you it's like I brought up these other History Channel shows, and like you see ads that play during the show, and it's like all dudes, and then all the other shows in that show are like all dudes, and it's like, oh my God, like give me the confidence of like a white man who has no fucking idea what he's talking about, because that's what's going on here. I'm fully fight the patriarchy this episode, Paige. Like, I'm fucking tired of this.
It. You see what I did there? I dig
What? I dig it.
it. I'm so funny.
Oh, so hilarious. Oh my gosh. There's just so much stuff to unpack here. And the show is just, it's crazy. All right. I think that's all I wanted to say. It's unclear.
There are so many things. Like, I'm going back and reading some of these quotes from Travis, and it's like this one, because I'm a scientist, you probably think I wouldn't be open to spiritual explanations. It's like, motherfucker, I wouldn't have expected you to be open to any of the shit that's happening on this ranch, and you are, so I don't know.
It's just, it's crazy.
If you haven't started watching the show, do
Don't.
it.
Or just like watch one episode and then realize that like nothing else is gonna happen for you in
It,
any of the other
you're
episodes.
not going to miss anything by turning it off after that episode.
Yeah. I don't even know what the one guy's name is. There's Eric Bard. And then there's the guy, the other scientist who's got the white hair.
Oh, yeah. His name is Jim Segula or Segula, maybe. Who, like, I don't even know why the hell he's there.
Right. They were kind of like, they were on the, Eric's like the principal investigator. And they were on the ranch before Travis got here investigating. And they're like, they kind of both seem like they just, they don't know what's going on.
Right. He doesn't know what's going on. And then it's like Jim, who apparently has advanced degrees in engineering and physics. Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
But then they bring him in to be, I don't understand. Somehow he gets brought in for the head injury when Tom is in the hospital the first time. And it's like, how? Apparently because he's a physicist, he, like you said earlier, he knows all things about all things science and can diagnose this guy who has like this weird brain injury. I don't know. It's weird.
Yes. Yes.
So that's the secret of Skinwalker Ranch.
That's the secret of Skinwalker Ranch. And yeah, as you can see, it's just got an insane history, a very long history and an insane history. And it's like, it's sort of frustrating that it's been treated the way that it has because, yeah. Like when we talk debunking more specifically, we'll go over this, but it's like, I feel like a lot of people feel like because Bigelow was involved, like, yeah, that there's legitimate stuff happening here and that because there's so much that it's it means that it's legitimate. But I have a lot of thoughts on that.
Until next time.
Until next time. Okay.
Do you have any, do you have a thing you don't write?
I don't have a thing.
Okay.
No. So yeah, sorry guys. Usually we would do our short story at the end. I don't know, which we still don't know what to call it. Spooky short at the end. But I totally forgot to look one up this week. So we're
and
just
we had plenty to talk about anyway.
And we have plenty to talk about, yeah. with Skinwalker Ranch. So next time we will dig into more specifics on debunking. And yeah, we'll try to figure out some of the crazy stuff that's happening here.
All right. Well, I think that about wraps it up then, right?
Per usual, like, subscribe, give us a rating, find us on social media.
And tune into episode 5 to learn more about Skinwalker Ranch.
Woohoo! Bye!
Peace.